Almighty Father, who hast given thine only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification, grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness and living truth, through the merits of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And our first reading.
So the first reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, and it's verses 27 to 32, and you'll find it on page 1097 in your pew Bibles. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia, alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. The gospel reading can be found on page 1089, reading from John chapter 20, and I'm reading from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and puts my finger where the nails were, and puts my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, David. Well, I wonder if you've ever doubted or questioned your faith, whether you were younger or whether in older years in life you've just got some hanging question marks. And I wonder if you've ever expressed those question marks to others. As we look briefly at Thomas this morning, I pray that it would be of help and encouragement to us all. As we know, Thomas was one of the 12 disciples, the original 12. If you look at Matthew 10, Mark 3, and Luke 6, you'll find that Thomas is listed with the first of the disciples. So what do we know about Thomas? Well, from John chapter 11, verse 16, we find him as a loyal disciple of Christ and even willing to die for Jesus. He is totally loyal to Jesus and bravely so. He doesn't hesitate to follow him even to his own death, though, like the others, when Jesus is arrested, Thomas recoils from that commitment and runs away. Clearly, Thomas has been captivated by the person of Jesus, who he is, what he did, and what he said. He's willing to give up his normal routines of life in order to follow Jesus. However, it's not a blind following. It's not a blind loyalty. And Thomas is one of the disciples who is ready to question Jesus when he talks about things he doesn't understand. And we've got an example of that in John chapter 14, when Jesus talks about going home to prepare a place for them. And totally puzzled, Thomas pipes up, "Lord, we haven't a clue where you're going, and how can we know the way?" So Thomas is honest enough to say, "Hang on, Lord, you know, we're not getting this. It's not, you know, it hasn't sunk in what you're talking about." Thomas is willing to express his lack of understanding. And so we can see, even from that example, that Thomas is an honest disciple, willing to think through his faith in Christ. And so we can see, even from those few examples that I've given, that Jesus has captured Thomas's loyalty and imagination, and, as far as it went, his personal commitment. Thus, by the time we get to John 20, the cruel death of Jesus has crushed Thomas's hopes and dreams, and we find him in pieces. Was Jesus really the one who is going to rescue Israel and bring hope even to the Gentile world? Had he, Thomas, been duped, along with all the others, into following just another preacher and prophet? Jesus' brutal death on the cross was the final straw, the end of all his longings and hopes. Death, after all, was the natural ending to life on earth, even for his beloved Christ. The thought of resurrection in the here and now was, for Thomas and the other disciples, a crazy concept. Even though he had witnessed the astonishing raising of Lazarus, he hadn't grasped, along with the others, the reassurance that Jesus said he would rise on the third day. Resurrection for Thomas and the other disciples was for the end times, when God would finally wrap everything up. Thomas, along with the others, didn't yet have the hindsight that you and I enjoy. Thus, when we encounter Thomas in John 20, his hopes lie shattered, his faith in pieces. We are not told why he wasn't with the other disciples when Jesus first appeared to them in that upper room. But we can imagine. Perhaps he simply needed some space to think, to grapple with his own despair and grief, away from the grief of others, to work out his own deep bereavement, and to try and get his mind and heart back into some semblance of normality and reality. Perhaps he was even wondering what on earth to do next. He'd given up everything to follow Jesus, and Jesus was now dead. Life had turned upside down for Thomas. Like the others, he was scared, frightened by events and the hard, cruel Roman treatment that they meted out on those who didn't fall in line. I can imagine that Thomas was in that place of the rawness of tragedy and loss, his mind in turmoil. And from our own experiences of grief and bereavement, we know how hard it is to grapple with the loss of someone we love, and how that path of bereavement and grief can be so different for each of us as we approach them from different places. And so, when Thomas hears from the others that they've seen Jesus alive, what's his immediate reaction? His immediate reaction is to question what they were saying, to doubt the validity of what they'd told him. Perhaps he thought they were delusional, that grief and bereavement were playing tricks with their imagination. And thus Thomas is clear that unless he can see and touch Jesus for himself, he would protect his already broken heart from anything weird and extraordinary and not run the risk of any more false hopes. I wonder if that was where Thomas was. But let's pause for a moment here and ask ourselves about that whole place of questioning and doubting. And let me say, first of all, that doubts and questions are natural and normal. So if you're someone who's hanging on to some questions or grappling with some doubts, be encouraged. It's natural and normal. However, doubts and questionings can be both constructive and destructive, depending on how we handle them. Doubts can be constructive when they are part of the process of seeking truth and reality, and how we are gauging and grappling with the world around us. And those doubts and questionings can lead us into further study, to a greater understanding of what is true, and especially if we are brave enough and courageous enough to express those questionings and doubts openly acknowledge them, and share them with trusted friends. Notice that on the second time Jesus appeared, Thomas was with them. However, doubts and questionings can have the possibility of being destructive, especially if they go suppressed, unexpressed, private, and buried, unexplored. Let me put in a plug here for home groups, because home groups can be one of those safe places where you and I can explore our questionings and doubtings in the context of friendship, trust, and honest exploration, sharing with other believers, and especially older Christians who've been down similar paths, can be a wonderful source of encouragement, help, and hope. However, let's return to John 20. And thankfully for Thomas and for us, Jesus didn't leave him in that place of questioning. So the second time, when the disciples were all together, Thomas was with them, and with them when Jesus again proved that he was genuinely alive. In fact, it's clear from the text of John 20 that Jesus knew what Thomas was thinking. I came across recently a lovely little phrase that Jesus, somehow you love us where you meet us. Somehow, Jesus, you love us where you meet us. And that was gloriously true for Thomas. Jesus knew where his heart and mind were. He'd witnessed his loyalty before the crucifixion. He knew Thomas, and he knew him well enough to know that Thomas was a questioning, honest, but sometimes doubting disciple. And so on this second occasion, Jesus goes straight to Thomas and says to Thomas, "Look, here are my hands. Here's my scarred side. Thomas, don't doubt, believe." And what is Thomas's immediate response? "My Lord and my God," he exclaimed. And in that moment, his faith is restored, his hopes begin to fly again, and his heart to dance. Jesus was all he said he was, and his promise it has come true against all the odds. And so in that encounter, Thomas becomes a changed person. His encounter with the risen Jesus was transforming. The jigsaw pieces of his faith that lay shattered by the crucifixion were now coming back together again and beginning to make sense. And we know that from Acts chapter 1 that Thomas was again with the disciples when they saw Jesus ascend and received the promise to stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would be given to them all. And so Thomas is in that new place of trusting Christ again and being willing to wait for the promises of Jesus to come true. Personally, I so value these honest accounts of the first disciples. They help to give confidence to my own faith in the Lord Jesus. So if we find ourselves questioning the Christian faith or going through times of doubt, let's learn from Thomas and allow ourselves some slack. Don't beat ourselves up. Recognize our very natural reactions and responses to what we're encountering in life around us. And yet at the same time, holding these against the testimony of Scripture and the truth of God in Christ. So let's recognize again the value of fellowship and honest exploration of our faith with other Christians, so that even through times of doubting and questioning, our faith can grow and blossom. Thank you, Lord, for Thomas and his honest exploration and questioning. Let's pause to pray. Lord, we do indeed want to thank you for Thomas. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you knew where he was and immediately met him in love, just where he was and where he needed to be met. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you can do the same for us because you love us and know exactly where we are. And so, Lord, lift our hearts again to see again the wonder and the truth of your resurrection and the life-changing encounter that you offer us. In Jesus' name, amen.